Donald Trump arguably built his entire presidential campaign on the politics of exclusion. From build that wall on the border with Mexico to fear-mongering against American Muslims, there are large numbers of voters with more motivation than ever to head to the polls this November. Helpfully, advocacy groups are stepping up to offer some guidance on policies and priorities to consider before stepping into the voting booth. And the Muslim Public Affairs Council has just issued its comprehensive Muslim Voters Guide. With a sneak peek, I'm joined by Impact Communications and Marketing Manager Rahima Shahab. Welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Hi, thank you so much. Thank you for having me on.
This is not the first time that the council has issued a voter guide, right?
We generally actually publish one for every major campaign that goes on. For Obama, we did it during the Bush era. So we've generally done a voter's guide.
What were the goals that you had in mind while putting together the guide this year?
Our main goal is to make sure that our community, that American Muslims, are educated as they head to the polls so that they're able to make a holistic decision as they choose, their nominee for the primaries. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to basically include issues that matter to those voters the most.
For 2020, Impact surveyed a large number of Muslim Americans to identify key issues of concern. Would you talk about some of those findings?
Yeah, definitely. So we issued a survey before we started working on the report that included a whole list of various issues that always come up during the debates or just in general with American Muslims. And we asked our supporters, people on Muslims online, basically anybody, to rank, what matters to them the most. Mm-hmm. And we were going to address the top 10 issues. And in that, we found that, the Muslim voter is way more concerned with just foreign policy. I think there's this myth or stereotype out there that because Muslims, are an immigrant population, which also is an inaccurate myth, that we really only worry about foreign policy and what's going on, quote unquote, back home. Mm-hmm. So we found that that's definitely not true. One of the biggest, the top issue that came back was healthcare. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, in the very, top of the findings was healthcare, gun reform, civil rights and liberties, and then foreign policy was definitely still in there. It's a big concern, I think, for many Americans, not just Muslims, but there were things that preceded that. So I think, the report showed that American Muslims care for a pretty big variety of issues, not just a foreign policy, and it kind of shows, I guess, the depth and diversity of our community.
Mm-hmm. Is there a profile of the Muslim American voter that starts to emerge as you look through the answers to all of those people?
I would say that there isn't. The more, we had other questions in there as well, not just this, just kind of a catch-all question that asked, did we miss anything? And just reading through the answers of that specifically, you can tell that, the community is so diverse and they care about so many different things that we really weren't able to sort of create a profile. There's American Muslims that have, only been here in America, right? Like the Black community of American Muslims. And then you have the Latino voters who are American Muslims. You have the South Asians. You have the converts. So that profile definitely, I think, just didn't emerge. The kind of thing that we're finding over and over again, something that we've known, but I think that this proves, is that, the American Muslims are not a monolith. Mm-hmm. There's just so much depth and nuance within our community.
Were there any surprises in the data that you gathered?
Not really. I think just what's surprising was just how high up issues like healthcare and gun reform were over like civil liberties. Mm-hmm. I think it kind of indicated to me personally that American Muslims have this very like Muslim issues, I guess civil liberties. We do sometimes, because of the Muslim ban and sort of discriminatory policy, see it as a big Muslim issue. Whereas like healthcare is like an any person issue, right? Each of us needs healthcare. Each of us can be denied access to it. So I think that was a little surprising, but I think it was a good surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yes. How many candidates were you able to hear from directly?
So before we released this report, we actually did a preliminary report that sort of did the research on how candidates were engaging with American Muslims. Mm-hmm. And we found that there were definitely a few candidates that stood out. We were able to talk to the Sanders campaign a lot, the Warren campaign as well. We had contact, I believe, with the Biden, Bloomberg, Buttigieg campaigns. But then the others, I definitely think that, you know, there was a lack of discussion with. I think the Yang campaign as well. Mm-hmm. We had some back and forth with. But yeah, there was, I think that part of the report really illustrated, and I think we marked which ones that we didn't hear from as well. After, you know, many attempts of outreach. But this time, more than any, campaigns were willing and doing the outreach on themselves. It wasn't even us reaching out. They reached out to, whether it was our organization or others, like campaigns did a lot of outreach efforts to Muslim communities specifically to get out their vote.
What does that tell us about the strength of the Muslim American community as a voting bloc?
It tells us a lot. It tells us that this bloc is definitely important to do outreach to. And I think this year, the 2020 year, more than ever, just shows the strength in numbers. You know, Muslims make up about, I would say, like 1% of the population, but that's a huge number, especially when it comes to this kind of election with so many people running. There's a lot that can be said for getting, you know, sort of the buy-in of this community. So there's a huge, there's a lot of voting power within our community. And I think campaigns are realizing that. I think one of the first times that this strength shows was during, I believe, the Bush-Kerry campaign, when about 20% of Muslims, or about 20% of the vote for Bush came from the Muslim population. Mm-hmm. Some like really, you know, high statistic like that. Mm-hmm. So that was the first time that this was indicated. But now we're seeing it more than ever, especially as Muslim engagement increases. As more Muslims head to the poll, more and more campaigns engage with the Muslims. So it's kind of like a cyclical effect as well. Mm-hmm. But there's that power exists there, and we're seeing it more and more.
So now, are there other ongoing voter education or registration programs that MPAC is participating in between now and November?
Yeah, so our programs are definitely going to grow as we go on. We're going to make more and more releases of the voter guide. You know, as people drop in, more issues come up, we're going to continue to educate voters. And then we have several programs lined up, you know, that have a lot more to do with like voter education as well as platform education. So there's a lot more coming up before November 2020.
How can our listeners get their hands on the Muslim Public Affairs Council voter guide, and how can they keep up to date with what's going on in your shop?
So all you have to do is go to mpac.org, and the Muslim voter guide is the first thing there. And they just click on it, and then they can download it. And the same link is where we'll keep updating all that information, as well as more information on voting in 2020 and what people need to know before they head to the polls.
Is there anything else our listeners need to know about this project that I haven't asked you?
I don't think so. I think just the most important thing is go out and vote. It doesn't matter whether you're Muslim. It doesn't matter whether, you know, you're a Christian or Jewish or Black or brown. Just go out and vote. Use your power. Vote your conscience. It's the most important thing as we, you know, head into this very, very critical year for any community, any ally.
Rahima Shoaib is Communications and Marketing Manager at the Muslim Public Affairs Council, a national public affairs nonprofit organization working to promote and strengthen American pluralism by increasing understanding and improving policies that impact American Muslims. Rahima, thank you for what you've done on this, and thank you for taking the time to be with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for the show.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, let me say a very sincere thank you. Your generous support of this program is vital to keeping us on the air. Now, if you think there's value in what you've heard here, and you think it's important that others hear it as well, please make your contribution today. Find more information at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. And do you know someone who you think might benefit from hearing what you're hearing? Please commit to sharing State of Belief with just one person this week. Do it on social media. Do it in person. See that someone learns about the show. It is incredibly helpful to know that we are reaching more and more people, especially at a time such as this. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be part of the conversation. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.